All right, take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Going to be looking at the concluding verses in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 24 to 29. Matthew, chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. We now arrive and come to the final sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we come to the final sermon, Jesus, one more time, gives us a warning. And it's a warning to those who, once again, make a profession of faith in Christ. But those who say that they are in Christ, those who say that they are in the kingdom, but who remain self-deceived. So Jesus concludes his sermon with this final warning. And if you remember from last week, the reason for this is for us to examine our lives, to examine our hearts, to see if we are in the faith, to see if we are in Christ, to see if we are in the kingdom, because what Jesus has been teaching and preaching is that there are many who are self-deceived. Many who think they're on their way to heaven, many who think that all is well between them and God, only to find out when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ that their fall is great. And they will hear, "Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness, you workers of iniquity. Get away from me. I never knew you." And so this has been the same point as we've looked at from verses 13 and following. And this morning, once again, as I said, Jesus gives a final warning. And he gives to us a picture or an illustration to help us to understand this. That of two builders building two homes on two foundations. And the point is very simple. Here are two types of lives. Those who build their lives on Jesus Christ and his word, and those who do not. Those who hear the word of God and obey it, and those who hear the word of God and disobey it. So again, this is the very same warning that Jesus has been giving to us as now he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. There's really two possibilities. There's two choices. Again, going back, you can enter through the narrow gates, go down the narrow road and find life. Or you can enter through the wide gates and go down the broad road that leads to destruction. And remember, many go through the wide gates. And many are on the broad road. Why? Because this is the easy road. This is the easy way. This is the easy life. And there are many who profess to be Christians who want this easy way of life. They want salvation. They want the benefits of salvation. But they have no desire to hear the word of God and obey it. No desire to follow Jesus Christ no matter the cost. No life of discipleship. No taking up the cross, no life of self-denial, no following after Jesus Christ. For those on the broad road, this is simply too hard. This is too much. It's much easier to say, I believe in Jesus. I know Jesus. I mean, I made an outward profession of faith in Jesus. But to listen to Jesus and obey Jesus and submit to Jesus, that's not the life I'm going to live. Sure, I'll say I believe, but when it comes to my life, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live how I want to live, and nothing is going to get in the way of that. So many, as Jesus says, are on the broad road that leads to eternal hell when they think they are on the narrow road that leads to heaven. And that's been the point here, hasn't it? That the many who are on the broad road think they're on the narrow road. They think the broad road is going to lead them to heaven. They think once they get to the end, they'll be in the presence of Christ, only to find out that they will be in hell. We also saw that there's going to be some obstacles in the way. There's going to be false teachers. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're nice. They're pleasant. And again, they seem to say the right things and to affirm the right things, affirm the right doctrines, but they want to shut you out of the kingdom. They want to keep you on the broad road. They don't want you on the narrow road. There's also the obstacle of self-deception. As Jesus said, there are going to be many who stand before him on the day of judgment, verse 21. And they say, Lord, Lord. They're pleading. And look, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? Look at all that I've done. Look at how passionate I am about you, how zealous I am. And look at all that I've done in your name, and yet Jesus tells them, get away from me, I never knew you. There are many who profess faith in Christ who do not possess true faith in Christ. So Jesus doesn't want us, and here's the point, it's the reason he's preaching this, he doesn't want us to be self-deceived. He warns us so that while there's opportunity, while there is time, we can examine ourselves, examine our lives to see if we're in the faith, not simply making an outward profession of faith and thinking all is well between us and the Lord when it is not. You say, who is it that enters the kingdom? Jesus says in verse 21, it's he who does the will of my Father. That's the one who enters. It's the one who does the will of God, does the will of the Father. It's the one, as we see here, who hears the word of God and obeys it. It's the one whose life has been changed and transformed by the Lord. The one who desires to be more like Christ, to live out, the desire to live out what we've seen here in the Sermon on the Mount, the one whose life has changed, the one who loves Christ and desires to submit to Christ and to do what pleases him for his glory. This is not do better, try harder, work your way into the kingdom. We have seen in the Sermon on the Mount, the way into the kingdom is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You remember Jesus said, you must have a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and that is impossible. There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation, nothing we can do to work our way into the kingdom. You need a righteousness that is not of yourselves. You need the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have the righteousness of Christ to be justified, to be declared righteous, is through faith in Christ alone. He alone is the righteous one. He alone obeyed the law of God at every point. He alone is the perfect and sinless Savior. And it's his righteousness that is imputed or credited to you when you come to faith in Christ. So this is not about work your way into the kingdom. That's the point of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize by God's grace they have nothing to offer to God. Nothing they can do to merit salvation. They're like the tax collector who said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You recognize that it is God and God alone who can save you and give you and grant you eternal life. And when you come into God's kingdom by his grace, it is God through his Spirit who is conforming you and shaping you into the very image of Christ, which means you begin to display the characteristics that you see in the Beatitudes. You begin to display the characteristics of Christ. You have new desires and new longings. You want to please God. You want to honor God. You want to glorify God because of your love for him. And your love grows deeper and deeper. And when that happens, you continually hunger and thirst after righteousness. You become more humble. You desire to be a peacemaker. You desire to pray and fast. You desire to know the word of God. You're hungry for the word of God and to obey it because it pleases him. And yet, for many professing Christians, they're not concerned about what their life looks like. No concern. There isn't a hunger and thirst after righteousness. There isn't a desire to change and be conformed to the image of Christ. So sure, as we see here, I love Jesus. I even do works in his name. I come to church. I like to be around Christians. I'm a Christian. But that's the point of this warning. He says you need to build your life on the right foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ and his word. Jesus says this: it's one thing to hear and listen to my words. It's one thing to hear even what Jesus has taught here in the Sermon on the Mount, and you may like it. You may appreciate what he's taught, but you don't do anything about it. To listen is one thing, to obey is quite another. So again, there are many professing Christians who are filling churches, who like to come to church, hear sermons, enjoy listening to the word of God, but they're content and they stop right there. They stop short of actually obeying God's word. Why? Well, there's more important things to do in life. There's more that occupies my time. Sure, I'll come to church. I'll hear the message. And then they leave and forget about everything they just heard. There's not a real concern to do the will of God. To hear Jesus, listen to Jesus, obey Jesus. So what we have then and what we've studied are these warnings that are given to us by the Lord. We've seen the warning against false teachers, the warning against false assurance, and now this morning there is a warning about having a false foundation. And you must remember, these are the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words of our Lord and Savior. So many are on the broad road. Many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says their fall is great. That is to say, this is speaking of eternal judgment, final judgment. These are eternal matters. If you are not in Christ, you do not come to faith in Christ. What awaits you is eternal hell. So this is the point. Jesus is giving the warning so that you will not be the one who stands before Jesus and says, Lord, Lord, only to find out that he never knew you. So make sure you're building on the right foundation. So let's look this morning. Two builders, or two houses, and their two foundations. The picture is not difficult to understand. Here's the difference between those who hear the words of Jesus and do them, obey them, and those who hear his teachings, hear the word of God, and disobey the word of God. Gives this picture we're familiar with. Here's the picture of the wise man. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And then there's that of the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. Let's look at these two builders. What's interesting about them is that there are a lot of similarities about them. The differences are not as noticeable. And Jesus says, therefore, pointing us back to those who say, Lord, Lord, again, heed my warning here. Everyone, and notice that word everyone, everyone who hears these words of mine, both of these builders hear the word of God, or both of these men have heard the gospel, they've heard the teachings of Christ, they've heard the same exact teaching about salvation, what it means to be a disciple of Christ, what it means to follow Christ. Both builders hear the same exact message. And Jesus says everyone, including those who are wise and including those who are foolish, they both understand there's only one way by which we can be saved. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. They both understand the way and the path to eternal life is only found on the narrow road. They both know and understand that there is a broad road, and that broad road leads to destruction. And that's the way it is today. Again, there are many who are in the church, both believers and unbelievers. And they both come to church, and they both hear the same exact message. They hear the gospel. They hear the truth. They know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They know, as they come week after week, hearing the same exact message of the gospel, there's one God, the true and living God, who's created us in his image to know him and serve him and love him and worship him and glorify him. He is the sovereign ruler of this universe. We are to be in submission to him because he is Lord, because he is God, and yet all of us have rebelled against him. All of us have sinned. All of us have broken his law, and because we've broken his law, we stand guilty and condemned before him. We all deserve eternal punishment in hell, and yet God in his grace sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law of God that we can never do, and went to the cross, and upon the cross took the wrath of God upon himself, not for his sin, but for our sin. And we know it was a perfect sacrifice because 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And our response is to repent of our sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And if we do, we have eternal life. It's when we come to faith in Christ, as I said, it's his righteousness that is credited to our account. So here you have believers and unbelievers hearing the same message. But notice, two builders, one wise, one foolish. They hear the same message. And next, in the illustration, they proceed to build a house. And by all intents and purposes, these homes look exactly the same. They're in the same general location because when the storm comes, it hits both houses. So when you look at these homes, they're very similar. You really can't tell the two from each other. And the point here is it's really hard to distinguish between these builders and their homes. In other words, their lives look the same. Here you have people, they go to the same church. They both say they worship God. They both say they serve the Lord. They both give and they fast and they pray. They're both even members of the church. You really can't tell the difference between them. On the outside, they seem to do the same things and worship the same God and serve the same Lord. And again, that's the way it is within the church. Later on, we're going to see in the Gospel of Matthew, there are the tares among the wheat. There will be both believers and unbelievers within the church, and sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference. It's really hard to distinguish between them because it seems like their lives are really the same. But if you look close enough, there is a massive difference. And the difference is the foundation. One built his foundation on the rock. The other built his foundation on the sand. And Jesus says this very clearly. The wise man hears the words of Christ and obeys them. That is the man who builds his life on the foundation of Jesus and his words, while the other hears the words of Christ, but does not act upon them, disobeys them. That life is built on the foundation of sinking sand. Notice here, he says, the wise man built his house on the rock, that's Petra. It means solid, stable, unmovable. It's a foundation that's made out of bedrock. Again, this is the person who builds his life on Jesus Christ and his words. This is the person who's come to faith in Jesus Christ and submits his or her life to Christ and what he says in his word. So you have these two builders. Both built a home. But the wise man builds on the right foundation. That's why when the storm comes, the house stands. The foolish man builds his home on sand, and when the storm comes, great is its fall. So, one mark, one characteristic of a true disciple, that is to say, one who is in Christ, one who is united to Christ by faith, one mark is obedience to God, to his word. Again, verse 21, the one who does the will of my Father, or here, whoever hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeys them, that's the wise man. Jesus, in Luke 6, says it this way, verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I'll show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house. And notice, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. So many in the church hear the words of Christ, hear the word of God. Remember, the Bible is breathed out by God. The words of God, the true word of God, all of it in Scripture, the entirety of Scripture is the word of God. And many hear it, many listen to it, but they don't respond to it. So it's not just coming to church and hearing the word of God. It's coming and hearing and then going and doing. If we hear the word of God, listen to the word of God, and do not obey what our Lord says, what Jesus is saying, is we're not Christians. We're not in Christ. We can't say we belong to Christ and don't do what he says. That's why in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And we're not talking about perfection. We who are in Christ hear the word of God and we desire to obey the word of God, but we all stumble in many ways. That's not the point. The point is, what is the desire and what is the direction of your life? Are you one who desires to hear the word of God and to obey the word of God, to hear what Christ says and to submit your life to Christ? Is that the desire you have? And is that what your life looks like? Because that should be the pattern of your life. Because that is the pattern of a Christian. The one who loves Christ and desires to submit his life to Christ because it glorifies him, it magnifies him, and that's what brings joy to the heart. That's the wise man. So many hear the words of Jesus Christ, want nothing to do with them. I want to live my life my way and do what I want. Hearing the word of God, responding to the word of God is first to repent of your sin and trust in Christ for salvation. Only God can do that by his grace. But when he does, you respond, you come to Christ, you repent, and trust in Christ alone. It also means after you come to faith in Christ, again, there's new desires and there's new longings. Your heart is changed, and you desire to live for Christ. You desire to live for his glory. Again, you don't do that perfectly. We all battle and struggle with sin, but we will have a love for Christ. We'll have a love for his word. We'll have a love for his people. That's why Jesus says, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. Means when you hear the word of God, you have that desire to obey it. Again, because of your love for Christ, your love for his word, your love for his people. So this is what Jesus is teaching, is to build your life on him and his words. And notice that. Jesus says, you are to build your life on me and my words. This is, remember in Matthew, Jesus Christ is the King. He is the Messiah. This is God himself in human flesh. Who else could say, you are to build your life on me and my words? This is only God who could say that. Philip Ryken says, anchor your life to the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Dig deep by obeying his word. Build a life that is strong enough to withstand every trial and tribulation. Sadly, many don't have a solid foundation. They don't have a spiritual foundation. As Jesus says, there are many who hear his words and don't act on them. This is the one who builds his house on the sand. Now, please understand, Jesus is not teaching salvation by works. Not teaching that we're saved because we follow Jesus and obey Jesus. Again, I'll emphasize it. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Jesus is not saying if you hear and listen and obey these words of mine, that's what makes you a Christian. If that's what you think, you've missed the entire point of the Sermon on the Mount. No. Paul in Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are not in Christ have no capacity to please God. Unbelievers can't do anything to please God, can't do anything to honor God, can't do anything to glorify God. We cannot live the life that Christ calls us to live apart from having new life in him. It's only by being in Christ that we can bear fruit. So what we're seeing is evidence. This is the one who has already entered into the kingdom And the one who has already entered into the kingdom is the one that lives a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. That is to say, it is the Holy Spirit who works in us, through us. And as he does, we become humble, meek, mild, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, desire to glorify God, desire to become more like Christ. That alone is a work of the Spirit of God. So again, Jesus makes this clear. John 15:8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's the point. If you are in Christ, by the work of the Spirit of God, you will bear fruit, and that will be evidence that you belong to Christ. So good works, bearing fruit, do not make you a disciple of Christ, but the good works prove that your faith is real, that it is genuine, that you are building on the right foundation. So it's by God's power and grace that we're saved, and it's by God's power and grace that we're sanctified, that we're growing and becoming more like Christ. Read this morning from James 1. Here James is teaching the same thing that Jesus did. Very similar. Again, a warning to those who simply just hear the word of God and don't do anything with it. James chapter 1, he says in verse 22, prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude or deceive themselves. So again, we come to the point of self-deception. In the same warning that Jesus gives to us in the Sermon on the Mount is the same warning that James gives to us in his epistle. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word. That is to say, continually be doers of the word. It's one thing to be under good teaching and preaching of God's word. It's one thing to even be amazed by God's word and to admire the word of God. You can have even great knowledge of God's word. But leave it at that and walk away and do nothing with it. So again, a Christian, one who is in Christ, is not satisfied with merely hearing the word of God. There is the desire to live out the word of God, the desire to become more like Christ. If you merely hear the word, not a doer of the word, James says you are deceived. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Building on the wrong foundation. Then he gives an illustration of this. He says, verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So here's one, he gets up, maybe in the morning, then he goes to the mirror. And by the way, mirrors in those days were hard to, these are not glass mirrors. They were made out of polished brass or bronze, and so it would take time to get a good enough angle and finding the right angle and the light coming in to get an accurate reflection of yourself. So the point here is it takes time. It takes time to get that right angle, to be able to see yourself in the mirror. And this man does that. And then he goes away, and it says he immediately forgot what he saw. The point is very simple. You can take the time to look at God's word, to examine God's word, observe what is in God's word, Now then you can be like the person in the mirror. You walk away, you forget about it, and you don't do anything with it. So that's what Jesus is teaching. That's what James is teaching. And Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, there are many professing Christians who are like that. They hear the word. They observe the word. They may even study the word. But they don't apply it. They don't live it. So you could be going to church, going to Bible studies, hearing sermons, listening to other sermons and podcasts and everything else that's available to us today, good books. But that's as far as it goes. So the proof or the evidence of a transformed life in Christ is evident by how you live your life. And the way you live your life is by doing the will of God as given to us in His Word. You know, the Pharisees were like this. Oh, they knew the Word. Oh, they studied the Word. They even taught the Word. But they were a bunch of hypocrites because they didn't live it. They didn't live it. They didn't point them to Christ. It didn't point them to the Savior. In fact, they rejected Him. Look at, for a minute, verses 28 and 29. I want you to see the response here. Jesus had finished these words. The crowds were what? Amazed. Who wouldn't be amazed at Jesus' teaching? They were amazed at His teaching. For He was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. They had never heard a preacher like this. One who spoke with such authority, clarity, insight, and wisdom. And even though they were amazed, it doesn't tell us that many of them repented, believed, wanted to follow Him. It doesn't mean that none of them didn't do that. But many hear the words of Jesus. Many hear the word of God. And again, admire it. But don't do anything with it. And again, these are not trivial matters. Because Jesus, once again, in this warning, speaks of judgment. Verse 24 again, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. If you build your life on Christ and His words, you are the wise man, and when the judgment comes, you stand. Why? Because when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are delivered from God's wrath. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your sin paid full on the cross. Your sin placed upon Christ. Your judgment Christ took for you. God's wrath poured out on Christ, not on you. So when judgment comes, you stand. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So here is the one who says they're in Christ, but when the judgment comes, they fall because they did not do the will of the Father. They really were not in Christ to begin with. Turn to Revelation 20. This is the fate of those who stand before Jesus Christ as unbelievers.
Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount with a warning. He does so because, again, the desire is for people to repent, come to Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, this is the final judgment of every unbeliever. Again, it's very, very sobering. John sees this unfold. He said, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. That is Jesus Christ, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small. It doesn't matter what your life was like here. It could be known as great on earth, powerful. Or it could be known as nobody, an insignificant person. It doesn't really matter. They're all there, the great and the small. And they're standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the sad tragedy and fate of everyone who does not come to faith in Jesus Christ. Includes all of those who made a profession of faith, said, Lord, Lord, look at what I did. So this morning, we end with the warning. What foundation are you building your life on? You and I have to examine ourselves. Is the foundation of our lives Jesus Christ and his word? Do you find yourself with a desire to obey Christ, love Christ, live out and do the will of God? Do you desire to honor God with your life and please God with your life and glorify God with your life? Is it your greatest desire to see Christ magnified? That's the one who's building his life on the right foundation. Or do you find yourself hearing the word of God, admiring the word of God, listening to the word of God, but then when you leave, you forget it? Doesn't really matter. Come to church? Do you listen to sermons? Do you serve in the church? And just go home and it doesn't matter. That's you. You're building your life upon sand. There's nothing more important and no more of a severe warning than what Jesus gives to us here in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Do you find yourself this morning, you say, I'm not building my life on Christ and his words. I am that one who just hears the word but doesn't obey the word. Then good news is, repent. Come to faith in Christ. Come to Christ. Come to the Savior. You'll find grace. You'll find salvation. And you'll find eternal life in him. Let's pray. Father, this morning, you give us another warning, and that's so gracious. You're so kind to warn us. Help us to examine our hearts and our lives so that, Lord, while there's opportunity, and if by your grace we would repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ, if we're not. And Lord, for those who have come faith in Christ, it's a good reminder, yes, to examine our own lives. We're not perfect. We can't be, but help us to have that growing desire to hear your word and to obey your word and to do that which pleases you. Also a reminder for us of necessity to go and to proclaim the gospel. Keep on proclaiming the gospel. So, Father, I pray that we would have that as a great desire as well, and by your Spirit to empower us to go and to go to the lost and proclaim the gospel. So, Father, I pray this morning, all of us here, just hear your words. Not gloss over them. These are serious words. These words have eternal implications. For us to think about them, and again to examine our hearts. So Lord, we love you. And again, we thank you and praise you for your word. And it's our desire to glorify you with our lives. Give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.